In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Law and Order UK, Brentford Park, Tuesday, March 18th.
Still no sign of target. Hold your positions. Exchange is due to happen any minute.
All exits are covered.
Yep, that's understood. Let's do another walk by.
Target has entered the park.
Joe watches through binoculars as a man and woman walk by a man on a bench. Ronnie.
So what's happening?
There he is.
A bearded man.
Target is here. Repeat, target is here. All units, stand by.
Someone take it easy, just hold on.
Standing by.
The bearded man walks back to the guy on the bench, who stands and speaks.
Have you got it?
You got your side?
Yeah.
Show us.
Joe observes another guy on a bench nearby.
Give it.
Show us the product.
The target implies he has a gun in his pocket.
What do you think this is?
Boy, I think we've got a weapon here, Ron. Shit.
What, a gun?
Give us the money, or I will lick you down and take it from you.
Target appears to be armed. Repeat, target appears to be armed.
The guy hands money to the bearded target. Joe and Ronnie watch from Joe's unmarked car.
Go ahead. I need to rob you.
Oh, no, no, this is not good, Ron.
Oh, shit.
Target red, all units, go, let's go.
Joe leaps out of his car and races after the bearded guy, who sprints away with a rucksack on his back. Joe follows the target across a wooden bridge and onto a dirt track which runs beneath a flyover. Scrub and sparse woodland border the track. Three other UC officers behind Joe are also in pursuit. The target reaches a riverbank and hurls the rucksack into the water as Joe catches up with him and takes him down. The other officers arrive and assist.
Oi! Simmons, I'm arresting you on suspicion of possession with intent to supply a Class A drug.
You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given as evidence.
Did he have it? Did he have the heroin?
If it was in the rucksack, it's in the river now. But call the divers. Maybe they'll find something.
Joe's talking to Frank, the man who was on the bench. The riverbank is now teeming with police. Ronnie walks up as a Triumph Dolomite is being hoisted out of the water.
Dave, when I said find something, I didn't mean... I bet you win lots of prizes at the claw game on the fairgrounds, don't you? You're supposed to be looking for a rucksack.
Run!
A cop opens the car boot. Joe looks in. Ronnie joins him.
Looks like someone was trying to bury more than just a car.
A decomposed body lies in the mud-filled boot. Law. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced DS Ronnie Brooks. Ben Bailey-Smith as athletic DS Joe Hawkins. Patterson Joseph as ruggedly handsome DI Wes Layton. Order. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut SCP Jake Thorne. Georgia Taylor as short, attractive CP Kate Barker. And Peter Davison as grey-haired Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, I predict a riot. At the police station...
Simmons squealed as soon as we found a rucksack full of heroin. I mean, he admitted to possession, supply, threatening an officer, everything.
Absolutely. Which must mean we can finally say goodbye to the drug squad.
Oh, wouldn't that just make your day, Ron?
Yes, it would, Wes. Look, sitting around in cars for hours on end every day is a waste of our talents.
Yeah, not to mention what it's doing to his back.
Yeah, right, well, I've had a word with Callahan. Drugs work is done, your secondment is over.
Result?
Yeah, but you got the loose end of the body in the boot, haven't you? Suspected murder, which makes it ours. So wrap it up as quickly as you can, will you, fellas?
Forensics Lab, March 19th.
From the skeleton size and joint wear, I'd say male between late teens and 30.
Do we have any idea of the ethnic background?
It's impossible to say for sure, but bone density suggests he's probably not Caucasian.
So, we are looking for missing person, description bloke, average height, 20-something, probably non-white.
He broke his collarbone at least 10 years before he died.
Do you think the head wound was the cause of death?
It's difficult to say.
Could he have hit something in the boot of the car?
Yeah, I'd be surprised. He would have been pretty wedged in there. I think whatever caused the skull fracture happened before he was dumped.
Right, Eleanor, how long do you think he'd been down there?
Body has near complete decomposition. Anything between 25 and 30 years.
The last registered keeper of the Dolomite was a Rebecca Connor in 84. After that, no more records.
We're trying to track her down now.
And we're also looking for missing persons around about that time, 82 to 88. It's going to take a while.
I swear I didn't say take a while. I said as quickly as you can. Give the grunt work to someone else and help me out here, please. Clear this off your desk.
Horton's hairdresser's Brixton.
The Dolomite was mine. I loved that car. Worked two jobs that I could afford to run the thing.
And what did you do with it?
I sold it to a mate.
There's no paperwork at the DVLA.
It was for a ton in cash, sweetie. I needed the money, and Nikki offered to take the car off my hands.
Does Nikki have a surname?
Carol. Nikki Carol.
What about an address for Nikki? Do you know where she lives?
Well,
East End, West End, was it? Or
we weren't in London, sweetheart. We were in Manchester. That's why I had the car.
MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street.
There are no missing person reports matching our timelines on any of the Northwest Police records. And none at all. How can that be?
Well, up until 1988, everything in Manchester was either hard copy or paper. So if you wanted a file, you literally had to go and get it yourself. Yeah, hello, love. I'm looking for that address, please.
So they didn't update anything to computers?
Well, they started, but they ran out of money. Yeah, Nikki Carroll. It's Nikki Carroll, yeah. No, I'm literally just waiting for an address. Oh, brilliant. OK. That is great. Thanks ever so much. Cheers. Right, OK. Nikki Carroll is on the Crimin database, but not in Manchester. Known charges are breach of the peace, common assault with conditional discharge, all in London, all outside police stations. So, seems she was a bit of an old-fashioned activist.
Redway Community Centre, Neasden. In a room where teenagers are sitting, a tall, slender black woman meets Joe and Ronnie as they enter.
I don't care who you've come to see. No one talks to anyone without a lawyer. I've just got these kids to trust me and start opening up. And I'm not going to have that destroyed by you lot coming in and throwing your weight around. Are we clear?
Yes, that's clear. However, we're not here to see them. Are you Nikki Carroll?
Why do you want to know?
Did you own a brown Triumph Dolomite back in the 80s?
Bought for cash from Rebecca Connor.
You found it?
But we're trying to track it down to the last owner, and at the moment, the trail goes cold with you.
The wind taken out of her sails, Nikki leans on a chair for support.
Oh, my God.
She sits down. Joe and Ronnie frown and look intrigued.
After all this time.
She looks up at them tearfully.
Have you found him?
Wait, who is it you think we found?
Her face crumples and she puts her hand to her mouth briefly.
You found my brother, haven't you?
He had a broken collarbone. He went over the handlebars of his rally chopper, like every other boy that age. I lent him the car.
What was your brother's name?
Taylor. Taylor Kane. He kept Dad's surname. I idolized him.
Any idea why he came to London?
Something to do with his job.
Right, and what do you work as?
Taylor Kane was a police officer. You're Maggie Kane's daughter, aren't you?
She nods tearfully.
Yeah, well, I remember your mum doing all the campaigning to find your brother. Mid-80s?
It was summer. 85. We still don't know exactly when. He didn't tell us much about what he was up to. We started out wandering the streets with an old photograph trying to find him. Slowly, we got people to support us. But the death of Hope ate away at her like cancer. And she died heartbroken a couple of years ago.
Is the campaign still going on?
We set up a trust, got charitable status. But after years of nothing, the support just drifted away. Everyone just gave up on him. Except me and my mum.
Well, Nikki, we believe your brother was murdered. And that means we won't give up on him. Not until we find out who did it.
The Kane Trust. Yeah, that started and ended with just the two of them, mother and daughter. But at its peak, They were getting press coverage, they were lobbying Parliament, they were fighting for the rights of ethnic minority officers. They were a force for good. Although the establishment didn't think so, of course.
1985, though, Wes, things were different back then, mate.
Now, that's one of the reasons the Kane family was so angry, though, is the police line is always the same. There's nothing more we can do.
Mm. Now Nicky's the last one left.
Eh?
And no kids, no other siblings. Mum died 2 years ago.
Yeah, I met her once. Formidable woman. You can see the strain in her eyes already, though.
Joe goes to the drink station.
We owed him a conviction.
That's not going to right all the wrongs of that time, though, Wes, is it?
No, but it'll be a start.
What do you want us to do? Go back to the beginning? Start again?
Yeah, and this time, let's do it properly.
General Registry Office, Whitechapel.
So, he completed his training in Manchester, 82.
Yeah, and he looks like he was seconded to London in 84, but it doesn't say why.
He had a handler. In London.
Eh?
Yeah, Ronnie, I think this guy was UC.
Well, not many black undercovers in those days. In fact, not many black officers full stop, sir.
Oh, but it would explain a lot, him being UC. I mean, being out of contact with his family, everyone else, even his chief oppo half the time.
Yeah. Well, being under the radar, I mean, that was part of the job, so, well, no wonder Maggie Kane couldn't get any support from the force.
Hold on a minute. It's an end of service form here. Signed and dated July 87.
Ronnie stares at him through his reading specs.
Really? Well, how have they done that without a body, then?
I don't know, but it's signed off the Chief Op, London, Alexander Green.
Alex Green, yeah.
And for the North West Police, Maurice Bennett.
Mo Bennett. I know Maurice Bennett. He took me through my detective exam. Great copper, great teacher. In fact, his reward was getting Manchester. Mo Bennett. What was the name of the handler?
Peter Langham.
Chiswick Police Station, March 20th.
I lost touch with Taylor, to be honest. Simple as that.
He didn't follow up.
This was before mobile phone, son. He was UC. I couldn't just go knock on his door. I didn't explain all this at the time, even to his family.
When was the last time you saw Taylor?
Well, it was the night after it all kicked off in Brixton.
The riots?
And where was the meeting, Pete?
Well, it was a copper's pub down in Lambeth. The Singing Sparrow, do you know it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to meet him inside there. Careless talk and all that. We met down the road.
And what did he say?
Yeah, he was scared. And who could blame him? We thought that we lost control of the streets that night.
Anyone who can corroborate that meeting?
No. She'll have to take my word for it.
Who was you drinking with, Pete?
God, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but if I went back through the archive, maybe found your little blue diary, that might jog your memory. What do you think?
They're at a table in the canteen.
If it was anyone, it would have been Darren Grady. We trained together.
What was the thing about Langham's diary? I swear I saw the blood drain from his face.
Oh, yeah, the old A4 blue diary. Before your time, we all had to have and write everything down. If we left the detail out, it could ruin us. Just the mention of them diaries can still put a fear of God into coppers of a certain age.
Hackney Police Station.
We jumped out of that van straight into a war zone. My partner that night had a petrol bomb chucked at him. He burned right in front of me. I don't remember his name ever hit in the headlines.
Well, there are a lot of victims involved in all that mess, that's for sure, but we're concentrating on the disappearance of a young police officer. Give us 5 minutes, would you?
Okay. The desk sergeant goes. Joe shows a photograph of Taylor.
You recognise him, DS Grady?
No.
You didn't see him that night with your mate, Peter Langham?
Well, how would I know? It was over 20 years ago, and it was dark.
So what, we all look alike in the darkness, do we?
Grady paints on a smile.
All I remember is I got very drunk and I drove home.
You drove drunk?
Yeah. Well, I was young and stupid. You'll know all about that.
I remember the young bit.
Joe pockets the photo.
Thank you, Darren. We've heard enough.
Ronnie and Joe start to head out.
Oh, friendly word of advice, fellas. A lot of serving officers from that time are still in the force. And a lot of them are in very powerful positions.
We don't care.
At the police station.
We're doing everything we can to find out who killed your brother.
Wes escorts Nicky into his office.
Forgive me if I don't gush with thanks.
I understand. We haven't exactly covered ourselves in glory.
He motions her to a seat. She remains standing.
I'm starting the campaign again. I've been in touch with a few of the old members. People who've also lost relatives in the system somewhere with no explanation.
I don't know how helpful that will be, Nikki. We need to keep a low profile until we have enough evidence.
Why? Because it would be embarrassing if after all this time my mum was right.
Nikki, please. I was a copper on the streets at the same time as your brother. I know how much this means to you.
You have no idea. We'll be on Facebook, Twitter, in the papers. Anywhere you can find us, we'll be hammering at your door till we get answers.
You have to believe me. This is now our priority case.
Yeah, because I'm threatening to go to the press.
No, because it's the right thing to do.
I wish I could believe you.
She gives him a steely look and walks out. Ronnie and Joe with elderly Morris Bennett.
You know what? You didn't have to come all the way down from Manchester for this. We could have done it over the phone.
No problem, Ronnie.
Yep.
Any excuse to say hello?
Good to see you.
You used to be one of my best students, you know.
Mr. Bennett, if you don't mind, why didn't anyone investigate Taylor Kane's disappearance?
Well, there was nothing to investigate. No body. After an extensive search of known haunts, it didn't look like we'd find one.
And that didn't worry you? I mean, they completely disappeared.
See, in Manchester, we all thought he'd stayed in London. And they thought he'd gone native. Oh, it happens sometimes, especially with younger officers. And different departments hardly ever spoke to each other in those days. We weren't exactly joined up.
I know. The family campaigned for action for years afterwards, didn't they?
Aye. His poor mother. She begged me to go on looking, but we quite genuinely didn't know where to start.
Morris, you signed Taylor Kane's end of service record, yeah?
We were drowning in paperwork. But it had already been countersigned by the chief of operations in London.
Yeah. Alex Green.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I assume that all the necessary checks had already been done. Have you spoken to Alex?
No.
Private security consultant now. Here he's doing rather well.
Private members club next day.
We desperately needed young black officers. There were places that most of our usual fellows couldn't go. Or wouldn't. Certain clubs, certain estates. You remember?
Of course, yeah.
We didn't have too many candidates to choose from in those days. It's better now with the whole, you know, PC positive discrimination thing.
So what exactly was Taylor Kane doing for us?
Sorry, Ryan.
No worries.
Hello?
He was attempting to infiltrate a Jamaican network in Brixton. We were terrified of more civil unrest at the time. We wanted to find out who the ringleaders were.
And who decided to declare him dead?
I don't remember who exactly. In some committee or other. We were still paying pension contributions at full salary. We can't do that indefinitely. Waste of resources.
Did the Kane family receive a death in service payout?
We had no proof he died in service.
Is that any wonder they hated us then?
Isn't it a little late for all of this? I'm glad he's been found at last, but is this really helping anybody?
Well, I'd have thought his sister for a start. She deserves some answers, doesn't she?
It's Eleanor, back of the lab.
Right, thanks, Joe.
Ronnie looks coldly at Green.
I'll give you tea. Mr. Green?
Forensics Lab, Gower Street, same day, March 21st.
I started off by trying various objects that could kill with a single blow. Piece of scaffold, crowbar, that sort of thing. Nothing matched. And then, one of my magicians in the lab found this. Tiny sliver of wood buried in the bone. It's been protected from the water damage. It's teak.
It's nice work. So what do they make out of teak? Furniture?
That's where we started.
So what'd you find?
That we were looking at the wrong things.
Ronnie glances at Joe.
My first truncheon was made of teak.
They all were back then.
Well, look, it couldn't have been his own. He certainly wouldn't have been armed. He wouldn't have even carried a warrant card.
So what else? Colleague with a grudge? Did he sleep around?
No, he wouldn't have even mixed with any other officers if he was undercover.
If it wasn't a fellow officer, where did the tea come from?
They're in a corridor with Wes.
We all know the elephant in the room here. He was a black kid in Brixton in the 80s. There were enough white coppers on the streets in those days who hit hard with a stick first and ask questions later.
That is a massive accusation.
All right, look,
maybe what about... Well, it happened, internal white on black crime.
Then internal affairs should be dealing with
this. No, not yet. I want to make sure of my facts before we go any further. So for now, it's just us. Is that understood?
Yeah.
The Queen's Pub, Holborn.
The Ronster. Long time no see, old son. What are you having? On the house.
Oh, I tell. I'm all right, mate. Thanks. I'm on duty.
Like that ever stopped you?
I thought you'd retired.
I tried. Or rather, the brewery tried for me. Chucked me out of the Sparrow a long time ago. Oh, I found this place. There you go.
Thank you.
What's your mate want?
No, you're all right, mate. Cheers.
Actually, Terry, need to ask you some questions about the Sparrow.
Do you recognise either of them?
Well, they're regulars.
That is Darren Grady. That is Peter Langham.
Yeah, I remember him.
Night of the riots, September 29th. Ring any bells?
And there was a big fight. Grady, he was in the thick of it.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. I had to confiscate his car keys.
Did you get the keys back?
Following day, yeah. I don't know whose car he blacked to get home. I saw him as he went flying past me.
What was it?
I don't know. Brown.
Triumph Dolomite?
Yeah. How do you know that?
I have a list here of all the London officers who put in a requisition for lost or damaged equipment from September to December 1985.
Grady's in a police interview room.
It's your name, Mr. Grady.
They're being observed.
We're in a truncheon. The 30th of September. Day after drinking at the Sparrow. Last time anyone saw Taylor Kane.
So what? A lot of people damaged equipment that night.
Ronnie turns to Joe.
It's a fair point.
So I can go, yeah? Wasted enough of each other's time.
Ronnie smiles, then peers over his reading specs.
However, you also stated that you drove home from the pub that night.
Grady's caught off guard and his eyes dart about.
So, whose car were you driving, Darren?
It was my mate's.
And he just gave you the keys just like that, yeah?
Grady waits a beat, then smiles.
Wes Layton's your DI, isn't he?
See, that explains why you're all getting your niggers in a twist about some dead black kid from the 80s. We're trying to be Martin Luther King, is he? Change the world. Good luck with that.
Wes has been watching on a monitor and goes into the interview room.
For the tape, Detective Inspector Layton has just entered the room.
And is about to issue a grovelling apology to Detective Sergeant Grady.
No, Darren, I'm about to arrest you for the murder of Taylor Kane. Dears Hawkins, read him his rights.
Joe stands. Ronnie raises his eyebrows at Grady.
Darren Grady, I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Taylor Kane. Do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention or question something about it.
Wes meets Grady's unswerving gaze, which conveys a primal hatred.
The evidence we have is mostly circumstantial. We've got nothing to put the weapon in Grady's hand.
Sounds a bit of a stretch to get to charge. Do you have anything else?
Well, only ongoing lines of inquiry.
Henry, please, I think you should look at the human interest side of this case. Now, we have a young black police officer. He's killed and goes missing for over 20 years, and the investigation into his death, well, it goes nowhere.
Yeah, okay, but we can't be seen to favour a case just because it involves a police officer.
No more should we. I agree with you, Kate, but this was a high-profile case at the time, which makes it even more shocking that nothing was done.
I can't authorise proceedings because you feel aggrieved.
We feel aggrieved.
The Commissioner's already asked me to keep an eye on this. It has the potential to be very embarrassing for a lot of people. This is not the case to use to launch a crusade.
Crusade? Now, this is one of our own.
I think you'll find, gentlemen, we're a little bit too late. Nikki Carroll. She's already on that bandwagon. She's decided to restart her mother's campaign via social media and register Taylor Kane Trust as a going concern.
Of course she has.
Yes, of course she has, Henry, because she feels that we let her down last time. Now, I think this woman should know that she can trust us now.
We let her down. I think you need to be a little more impartial than that.
OK. Leave this with us while you carry on with your inquiries.
What are they, exactly?
Well, you see in this paperwork that this line particularly is highlighted.
What about it?
Well, WS, for instance, stands for witness statement, and in the ongoing investigation of a missing police officer, there is a missing witness statement. I think that needs looking into.
OK, but you call me if there's any progress. I'll be clear.
Conference Centre, Crystal Palace, March 24th.
We must learn new techniques and modern skills. We must advance ourselves, or we'll be left behind like so much dust on the road. Thank you.
In an airy conference room, Alex Green gathers up his lecture papers and goes to Ronnie, Joe and Jake, who are at the door.
Well, I'm sure there's nothing in there you haven't heard before.
Just the bit about being left behind, Alex.
What can I do for you?
Jacob Thorne, CPS. The original investigation into the disappearance of Taylor Kane.
Yes?
Is the paperwork complete?
What do you mean?
Well, if we were to go back through the original files, would we be able to follow the paper trail?
You know, the old-fashioned police work.
I've got no reason to believe that anything should have gone astray.
Well, we seem to think that there is a witness statement missing, you see. We have WS witness statement, TK. Taylor Kane. I'm assuming that the numbers are, I don't know, date or order number. Basic police filing procedure. Old-fashioned, but it worked.
We need to put the victim of this crime at a certain place at a certain time. And a missing witness statement may be just what we need.
Or not. It might show he wasn't there at all. Destroy your theory altogether. There were hundreds of bits of paper. It couldn't have been anything.
Green walks away.
Anyone else think our private consultants developed a bit of selective memory?
Yeah. How sure are you about this?
100%. I mean, the reference is on the General Registry docket summary at the front, but it's not in the file. Someone has removed it.
Let's charge Darren Grady with the murder of Taylor Kane. See who looks scared.
At the CPS.
Did you hear what I said about not making this a crusade?
Loud and clear.
And calling me before you did anything.
We have enough.
To charge Grady, a serving police officer, with murder.
We have forensic evidence, we have a witness.
Who thinks he saw something 25 years ago.
When Ronnie has provided us with the smoking truncheon, we'll have everything we need to get us home.
And you're sure that will happen?
100%.
Henry looks from Jake to Kate.
My trust in you hangs by a very fine thread, Jake. This case is already gathering a public profile.
Henry storms out.
I'd like to put the court on notice that we wish to make an application to dismiss. As I see it, you have no case. The basic premise of the prosecution is a joke. No offence.
Thanks, none taken.
Skeleton arguments to me by next week. Response 7 days thereafter.
Of course.
We ready?
As much as we can be.
Mr. Thorne.
Yes?
I'm Nikki Carroll, Taylor's sister.
Yes, of course. There's nothing really to see today, just a lot of huffing and puffing from both sides. The defense have an opportunity to argue that we don't have enough evidence.
Don't try and fob me off. I know a bit about the legal process. Do you have enough evidence?
We will do, by the time we go to trial.
But not yet.
Miss Carroll, Jacob Thorne is the very best. I promise you.
Don't you dare give me a promise. Don't you dare. My mother died because she believed this day would never come. No, you offer the possibility.
Miss Carroll, you have to trust us.
How can I? You've no idea what it was like 20 years ago.
Let us fight your case for you now. We have every hope we can put Grady away for the death of your brother.
Don't offer me hope now if you can't see this through.
Her cheeks tear-stained, Nikki strides off.
We can't let her down.
No. We need that missing witness statement.
Crown v. Grady, plea and case management hearing Monday, 14th of April. Grady is in the dock.
But putting the prosecution case at its highest, is there enough evidence for a jury properly directed to convict?
This is a statement taken by Detective Brooks. It is an eyewitness account of the pub landlord, Terry Wilson, who ran the Singing Sparrow at the time of the murder.
Alleged murder. An eyewitness account from nearly 30 years ago. That's now your case. My learned friend's argument is more desperate than I thought.
And we have reason to believe that the original investigation into the disappearance of Taylor Kane is not entirely complete.
What do you mean, not complete?
Well, the current police investigation suggests that a witness statement from the original 1985 inquiry is no longer present.
Mr. Thorne, are you suggesting police involvement in this missing document?
Possibly. I would suggest that we do not dismiss this case until we've had a chance to reveal the full and true picture.
My lord, please, what has this to do with my client?
I believe there is enough evidence for examination by a jury. A positive identification of the defendant driving Mr. Kane's vehicle and the replacement baton. The proper forum for my learned friend's argument is at trial.
Philip Nevins and Jake walk through the court building.
Congratulations. That was one of the most outrageous displays of manipulative argument I think I've ever seen.
Police corruption from years ago is a hot topic.
And completely unrelated to the defence of my client. I'll be making that clear in my opening.
The justice thinks otherwise.
Because you played him.
Kate's following them.
Serve me a Section 8.
What?
Once we're through the defence arguments, serve me a Section 8 immediately, demanding the missing witness statement.
Why?
He wants me to demand a document that we both know you don't have.
Yeah, I know what a Section 8 application is. I'm just asking what he thinks he's playing at.
Good question.
To find it, I need search warrants. Lots of them, signed by a judge. I can't do that without some momentum. A demand for the defence counsel insisting on it would give me that.
And why should I do that for you?
Because if it leads to nothing, my prosecution falls apart and your client walks.
Or it puts him at the scene of the crime and I'm shooting myself in the foot. I don't need this to win. You do. So I ask again.
Aren't you just a little bit curious?
And is that supposed to be a winning argument?
It is, though, isn't it? This could reveal a police cover-up or an almighty cock-up. I know how you work, Philip. Not the least bit interested in finding out what that might be, who was responsible.
Don't try and play me like you played Prentice, Jake. I'm not that easy.
So let's play nice. For once.
Philip shuffles.
I need this, Philip.
I'll issue the Section 8 demanding that you hand over the witness statements. Then we'll go to trial, and then I'll wipe the floor with you because I'll still have enough to destroy your case.
Jake and Kate watch Philip walk away through the imposing building.
What's the view like from that tightrope you're walking?
Yeah.
Ange.
Sir Commissioner Callahan for you.
Wes gets up from his lamp-lit desk, straightens his tie and puts on his suit jacket. Ange goes. Callahan, wearing uniform, enters and Wes shakes hands with him.
It's a bit late for a house call, isn't it, sir?
Wes motions Callahan to a seat and closes his office door. Callahan remains standing and puts his peaked cap on Wes's desk.
Darren Grady.
Yes?
Has the search for your missing witness statement revealed anything?
We're still looking.
I've spoken to Henry Sharp. We worry. The evidence may not be enough for a conviction.
With all due respect, sir, I'd like to get this finished.
Callahan considers, then sits down.
We worked a long time, Wes. Officers like you and me, especially, to remove the stain of institutional racism from our lives. This could take us back 10 years.
We can't brush this aside this time. You know, the Kane Trust, they were fighting for exactly the same things we were.
I know all about the Trust, Wes. We were large benefactors in the early years.
That family deserve a conviction.
But at what cost? It feels very much like you've chosen a side here, Wes. You need to be careful. You could come out of this very badly. If you win, our PR teams will bury this. A misdemeanor from the past we'd all rather forget. Different times, changing attitudes. If you lose, it will bring disrepute upon us all. Someone will have to be held responsible for that.
Wes gives him a direct look.
I'm willing to take that risk.
It's your call.
Outside court.
I shouldn't be getting worried calls from Commissioner Callahan, Wes. I have my own boss to contend with.
But there's no news yet, so...
That's what's worrying him. This whole case depends on new evidence being found, and we're running out of time.
The Section 8 application will allow me to press Prentice for all the search warrants we need.
Oh, God.
I don't know if my brother's killer will be brought to justice. We have waited long enough for this day, but the police have ignored our cause before. So who knows? Maybe they will again.
Nikki, please, don't do this. If anything is published, it could bias the jury and the judge will dismiss the case. Is that what you want?
Don't let their deaths mean nothing.
I won't.
Look, we'll be making a statement shortly.
Was Maggie Kay right all along? Did the police bury this case in the 80s?
If there was any police conspiracy from that time, rest assured, we will get to the bottom of
Who
it.
Who said anything about a conspiracy?
Is that a conspiracy?
How far out to this boat? Any statement you
What the hell was that?
Trying to calm them down.
But it didn't work.
No, because none of this didn't already suspect.
Well, you don't want them to pursue.
All right, Henry, what exactly are you accusing me of?
However worthy the King Trust is, you are not a paid-up member. You are an officer of the law. Get some distance on this before you bring us all down.
In court, Maurice Bennett sits with Ronnie and Joe, the justice.
I issue these warrants in accordance with Section 8 of the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, 1984, to search the homes and workplaces of Maurice Bennett, Darren Grady, Alexander Green, Peter Langham.
In a street.
Hey! Morris, can I get you a lift anywhere?
No, thanks, John. Taxi will take me where I want to go.
About those warrants?
Bennett stops beside a cab.
We're going to have to search through your place. You know that, don't you?
Everything was filed, Ron. Everything. St. Thomas's, please.
Home of Alex Green, Chelsea, April 16th. Police leave carrying boxes. Green comes out to Ronnie and Joe.
You bastards! God's sake!
Not anymore.
Ronnie and Joe enter the house, followed by cops, then Green. Crown Prosecution Service, Monday, April 21st.
We have checked domestic addresses, business addresses, club lockers, favourite hotels. Every stone has been turned over. We forensicated everything and we just still cannot find this missing statement.
Maybe it's not going to be as easy as finding it in someone's knicker drawer, but we know it exists. Don't we?
Well, it used to, but...
Someone who worked the case back then, who worked with Grady, must know what was on it.
But if it is a cover-up, all they've got to do is stick to their story.
Let's be honest, they've had plenty of time to rehearse.
Or plenty of time to feel guilty.
What do you mean?
Well, 25 years is a long time to keep a secret that size, and something that big sooner or later will eat away at your money.
So, who's the weak link?
You know. Do you?
Well, I have my suspicions, yeah.
Well, would you care to share them before we start the trial?
I need to make a phone call, pull in a favour.
Ronnie, don't make me go in there tomorrow with nothing.
I have to do this my own way. There's a lot of old, respected men that have put in years of service, men I know.
You can't be sentimental here.
No, I understand that. But some of these people are friends. And, well, they'll be destroyed if we're right.
If. A few days ago, it was 100%.
Oh, Jake, it still is. But you lot know better than I do. There's a whole world of difference between knowing it and proving it.
Crown v. Grady, trial day one, Tuesday, 22nd of April. Kate and Jake, wearing their wigs and robes, take their places in the packed courtroom. Kate sees Callahan enter and shake hands with Wes, Ronnie and Joe.
Royal visit from the Commissioner?
Jake looks over his shoulder at him.
Oh, great. I guess I wasn't feeling enough pressure.
Mr. Wilson, why did you leave the Singing Sparrow?
Brewery wanted a younger man.
Oh? I have a dismissal notice here, which refers to unacceptable, intoxicated behaviour whilst behind the bar. Weren't you fired for being a drunk?
No, I was not.
Then what could they possibly be referring to?
Regulars were generous.
Ah. And had the regulars been generous on the night in question?
Remember.
Because it was so long ago, or because you were inebriated?
Terry Wilson looks over at Grady, who gives him a look.
I'll take that as a don't know. No further questions, my lord.
Callahan and Ronnie share a look. Thames Riverside.
You taught me everything about being in the force. Not just about procedure and stuff, but... you know, what it meant to carry a warrant card.
Ronnie's with Bennett.
I remember he used to say people look to us for leadership, for guidance.
I said that, did I?
Yes, you did. And that the people we serve look to us to make all the right choices. You know what, Morris? That was the greatest lesson I ever learned. I promise. You were my best teacher, my favourite teacher, hero.
I'm not sure I'm that man anymore, Ron.
Look.
They stop walking and Bennett turns to Ronnie.
The CPS are going to ask you a question tomorrow. If you want to wait till then to answer it, that's fine by me, I understand. But I'm going to give you the chance
to answer it directly to me first, right here, right now, as a friend. Has anyone ever paid you to keep quiet about Taylor Kane?
Oh, that's a lovely question.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's one I have to ask. You see, because I've had to call a couple of favours in, Morris. And one of them was from someone who worked in the admin at St. Thomas's Hospital. Yeah. Client payments, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, that is confidential.
I know how much you've been paying for private healthcare in the oncology department at St. Thomas's. I know. Is it for your cancer?
I don't have bloody cancer.
And then who's it for?
Rose. She's got lung cancer.
Oh, Morris, I'm sorry.
After everything, the least I could do was try and ease her pain. That bastard knew it.
What bastard?
Alex Green. He knew I'd never compromise myself for personal gain, but I'd do anything for my wife, including taking his money. Alex said it would all go away, and I believed him.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
I've been trying to all along. Half-truth here and there, hoping you'd fill in the gaps. I never wanted to keep this secret wrong. It was out of my hands.
Oh, don't give me all that, Morris, please. Oh. Why didn't you tell us this in the start? You could have told Maggie Kane and her family this years ago, Morris. Saved them all the pain.
I know. It was easier to take the money and keep quiet.
Oh.
I swear to you, Ron. It's all on file, the whole case. There's a full duplicate of all the paperwork.
Ronnie looks out over the river.
Paper files till 1988, Morris. Manchester. Everything handwritten, eh? The old-fashioned way, of course.
Alex never knew about the copy in Manchester. I'd forgotten it myself until all of this. We thought it'd be safe hidden there forever. For as long as Taylor Kane stayed buried in that river.
You know what, Morris? I really hoped I was wrong. I really did. I cannot believe it. Even you have a price, Morris. God help the rest of us.
Ronnie turns away and walks towards Tower Bridge. Bennett watches him, then hangs his head. Philip, Kate and Jake in the court foyer.
What is it you found?
Kate hands Philip a document.
Everything we need.
The missing witness statement from Peter Langham.
Where did you get this?
When Morris Bennett ran Manchester in the 80s, his team kept handwritten copies of all files on officers seconded to other departments and other cities, which they dutifully did. No one questioned it, no one asked about it, and London didn't even know it was happening. Peter Langham has agreed to testify against Grady.
Crown v. Grady, trial day two.
On the night of the 29th of September, 1985, I briefed Taylor Kane behind the Singing Sparrow. No one could see us.
Nicky watches Langham.
He'd been involved in the riot the night before. And to prove his loyalty to the gang that he'd infiltrated, he'd thrown bricks at the police, officers he knew. He wanted out. And I said that we would do what we could. And I went back to the pub.
He looks to Grady, who stares back at him.
On my way, I passed Darren Grady outside the back door. There had been a fight earlier. And he said he was getting some air. About 10 minutes later, I went back outside to check up on him, but he'd moved down the alley and was shouting at someone lying on the floor. I walked towards him and called out.
Langham's expression is solemn. Grady lowers his eyes.
When he heard me, he lifted the body off the floor and dragged it around the corner.
Did you recognize the person on the floor?
Uneasy, Langham shuffles, then looks at Grady again, who fixes him with a steady gaze. Langham looks away and stares down.
It was Taylor Kane.
Their voices run under scenes of Langham being swamped by the media outside court.
Did you speak of this incident with Grady at all?
Following day.
What did he say?
Not to mention it.
Did you tell him you'd already made a statement with your chief of operations, Alex Green?
Yeah. But then I got a call.
From?
Alex Green.
Saying what?
That I was never to mention it again.
And did you?
Just once.
Who to?
Chief of Operations Manchester, Maurice Bennett.
And what did he say?
He told me to do as I was told. And that no one would ever find out.
Langham, Green and Bennett are arrested in memory of Roger Lloyd Pack, 1944 to 2014. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. Audio description by Deluxe.